Matthew 24, 36 through 44. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on the day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Today is December 1st, and if you've been around here for the summer months, you have recognized that it looks really different around here this Sunday. It's really lovely to those of you who have taken the time to help give this space, this worship space, a different feel. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Today is the first Sunday of Advent 2019. If you are one of those persons that follows the rhythms of the church calendar, I'm very aware that many of us who grew up in the Mennonite orbit did not, but this is actually the first day of the year for the church calendar. Today is the day that begins the new year. The season of Advent has been around since the 5th century, so a long time. So in another sense, welcome back. Welcome back to Advent 2019. Now, if you follow these things religiously, you'll know that the scripture readings that are assigned during the season of Advent typically come from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, another one of those strange and wonderful and troubling persons who kept their fingers on the pulse of the situations around them, who on some days could predict misery, and on other days could turn around and predict hope. You had to stay tuned in to a prophet. Do not tune them out. So today is Advent 1, and we are hearing once again from Isaiah, and the first line of this morning's reading begins in rather strange fashion, at least a little blurry for those of us moderns who prefer precision, who keep on saying, what time is it? What time is it? In the days to come is Isaiah's beginning, which is not exactly a standard for which you could set your blinking clock. The days to come is not exactly like a countdown, the ticking time letting you know the Super Bowl is coming. 21 hours, 27 minutes, 14 seconds left until kickoff, 13 seconds left until kickoff, 11 seconds, a ticking clock, now 8 seconds measuring the time until kickoff. Which is good to know if you're assembling your snacks, T-minus 30 seconds to kickoff. We moderns cannot assume that the way we think about time is the way people in other places think about time, in other cultures. We bumped into a little bit of that the other Sunday when Iglesia Adventista hosted us for Sunday dinner. How many of them acted differently than we acted as that day approached? For one thing, we mark our weeks from Sunday to Sunday. Sunday heads the week, Saturday ends the week. They use Saturday to begin their week with worship, and when everyone gets there and Iglesia met us for dinner on their day off, that was one difference. And if you remember, they did not seem to be too much concerned that we were lining up at the door, standing there, tapping our feet, checking our phone clocks, waiting for dinner to commence. It was time. To them, dinner begins when all has been made ready. And there's a built-in understanding that dinner is not set to begin at 12:30. Dinner is set to begin when the preparations have been complete. Our daughter Becky was in Jamaica for her cross-cultural experience while at college, and one of the things that she noticed right away was how differently paced things were in Jamaica, like they told someone would be by to pick them up in the morning. And Beck asked, well, what time? And they looked at her funny, like maybe she was hard of hearing or did not understand their Creole accent. They said it more slowly, in the morning. And Beck and her friends had to wait until their Jamaican driver was prepared to pick them up, which is a different way to experience time. And maybe that's where things get a little unnerving. Waiting involves not knowing what next to expect. Will dinner that we are waiting for Iglesia to prepare be good, or will it not? Will it be too hot for my tongue to handle? Will I hate it? Will I love it? You think of these things when you're waiting. It's like, will our Jamaican driver come sauntering up, or will he come screeching to a halt on the street just outside our door? Will I be predisposed in the washroom when they do show up? Will they wait if I am still gathering my things for the day? Waiting does involve a not knowing part, which can be unnerving. But that is the way Isaiah puts it. In the days to come is not an estimated time of arrival. In the days to come, and perhaps even in 2019, we should stop checking our watches when we read the scripture lesson and be too content and be looking to see what happens next. Now, as you are quickly becoming aware, if you have children in this congregation, you know that Pastor Connie has made it a habit, or a tradition if you prefer, to give out Advent calendars to begin the season. Those cards with tiny little windows to open each day as Christmas Day draws near. It's meant to be a good kind of waiting. A surprise window to be opened with images to help tell the Christmas story to be found in each window each day. She has actually done this for a long, long time, given them out to our children at church at Lakeview and here, but also to her grandchildren. And because Connie is Connie and never stops being Connie, she began including the cousins of her grandchildren as well. Around this time of year, her outgoing mail stack is rubber band thick. Now, there have been times when she has begun to make arbitrary decisions to maybe stop sending them to those 12 years or older. And maybe the cousins of the grandchildren is a little bit overkill, and they could also be dropped. But when she did, the feedback loop was ignited. And there came this friendly backlash of inquiry. Where is my Advent calendar? Why did I not receive it this year? I was looking forward to it. I say all that as a lead into our next Advent scripture, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, for it is meant to be looking for. Gospel, it is called, and it comes from Matthew. And if the return of Jesus is like a cousin with an Advent calendar, it is something to be anticipated, not freaked out by and avoided. Notice it does begin with another one of those timing things that cannot be nailed down for certain, not for certain. But about the day and the hour, no one knows. The angels do not know. The Son of Man does not know. Which I guess you can infer that Jesus is also waiting. But only the Father knows, and then this scene unfolds. With images that you will not find on Hallmark cards, about like in the Noah's day when everyone and their brother and everyone and their sister are going about their humdrum of daily activities, eating and drinking and getting married the way they always did, day in and day out rhythms of life, without anything being noticed in the distance. And that the return of Jesus might be a little bit sneaky like that, rather than a gold embossed announcement in the mail ahead of time. Like a thief, actually. Like a thief. And I don't know, is a thief sneaking in at night the most Advent-y image to keep in front of us? Is the image of a thief helpful at all? Is it an image behind one of the little Advent calendar windows? December 14th, Jesus the thief. Well, it was novelist Flannery O'Connor who said, "To the hard of hearing, you shout. To the almost blind, you draw large stick figures. Many of us carrying a literal approach to the Bible, but in the same way that Jesus uses parables to make his point, Jesus also uses images when necessary. And if some of those images, like a thief, are part of his verbal repertoire, then perhaps we should learn to appreciate that. If in the end, good news is being spoken, then let us not lose sight of the good news that is being spoken. It is good news that's on the horizon. In our little church back north at Lakeview was a woman named Janet, or Jan for short. And if Jan and her husband Bill sent a dinner invitation, everyone in our congregation knew that you would do well to quickly say yes and then go back if you needed to and remake any schedule adjustments that you had to make. Jan had learned to cook under the kitchen guidance of her mother-in-law, who turned out to be a French cook. And so then what happened in Jan's kitchen was done with care and creativity and with a flair of French chef expertise. Now, I will also say that Jan hosted differently than my Germanic background had prepared me for. She also hosted her guests as if there was no clock. The food was great. The pace was careful. When you arrived, you'd be led to the parlor, and before long, a tray of hors d'oeuvres would appear in front of us. Conversation and stuffed mushrooms in the parlor. Then sometime during the hour to come, no one knew exactly when, she would appear in the doorway and she'd put on her apron, she'd put it aside, and in a kind of false elegance, she'd say, "Dinner is served." And what she had prepared was always fabulous. And because Jan and Bill had been brought up in places like New Jersey and Long Island, their conversation style was gregarious, boisterous, and fun-loving. It invited you into the moment. The experience of dinner was awesome. So yeah, great food, great company, wonderful experience that made you forget about the clock. And if Jesus had been seated there with us all, it would only have been made better. Because hey, isn't it better having Jesus at the table? Wouldn't it be better to keep an eye on the window for when Jesus might show? Advent. This is the invitation for us to consider in 2019. These days, there is a mood of gloom hanging heavy around us. Impeachment stuff is clogging our newsfeed. There are trade wars, there are border buildings, there is global warming that is a threat. We do not have to go very far to see hatred appear in raw form. It only takes a matter of seconds for a Facebook post to draw a hateful response. And can anyone still have a civil conversation at Thanksgiving dinner about politics or religion? I think those who invented Advent knew what they were doing, because truth be told, this is not our first rodeo. For those my age will remember, we've done impeachment before. We've heard the powerful lying through their toothy smiles. We've heard this before. We've lived through the dislocation, the evil, the protests of the Vietnam War. Civil rights caused a huge unrest with violent protests and the pall of assassinations that came with it. You can backpedal even further and wince, for history does not get any rosier. There was a Holocaust and there was a stock market crash and hardships of depression, both in the economy and in the national psyches of many of those who still keep hoarding and bunkering down to this very day. Keep backpedaling further and you'll run into killer plagues and wipe out genocides, and by now you may be thinking, "Pastor Blaine, you're harshing my Thanksgiving buzz. Why so glum, chum?" All I'm saying, whatever we are experiencing around us is not our first rodeo. And Advent was invented not to bury ourselves in a grave of shallow sentimentality, not to bury our woes in jingle bells, but as a way to stare down our news cycles with fresh hope. See, I think, at least for some of us, as we were reminiscing in Sunday school class, this scripture lesson from Matthew has been hijacked, taken over by the doom and gloom and scary rapture thinking, and left behind merchandising. It's still around. For guests at our house last week were somewhat joking about the number 666 and how it still freaks them out a little bit. The store purchase comes to $6.66. The Christian cashier will subtract a penny to make it $6.65, or to add a penny and lift it to $6.67. The escape of 666, fear of rapture, thinking one taken, one left behind. Too often this scripture lesson has been hijacked. Can we please stop it? Jesus came as a baby during a time of great foreboding. We can still read about it in Matthew 2. Herod was troubled, and because Herod was troubled, all of Jerusalem and the surrounding suburbs were troubled with him. And my gosh, does any of that sound familiar to us? Today's Advent scripture was birthed during a time of great foreboding, days when the daily grind of life pulled down your chin, kept your nose to the grindstone, and your eyes downcast and unaware. And so, yeah, Isaiah says, as he begins to predict his people towards hope, in the days to come, and Jesus the same, using some of his own sit up straight and pay attention language, not as some gross and dire prediction of how the world ends, no, but instead in a world that already has a large dose of undesirable and unpredictable going on, to be ready, to stay awake, to lift up our eyes. Because in the beginning, the world was created good by a good God, and a course correction is now being made. Like Jan in her kitchen, preparations are now underway. And these scripture lessons from Isaiah and Matthew are for those of us who might be downcast and think the world is collapsing and going to hell in a handbasket. These scripture lessons thumb their holy noses at such thinking. And they begin our Advent season as an invitation that has already been sent. And we are waiting in the living room with the table being set in the next room.